Hello, 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 and welcome to Navigating Preteen Ministry. My name is Sam Beam, and I am so glad that you are here today with us. This is part two of our vision series. Just talking about how we can walk a vision from an early idea into something that our entire ministry is built upon. Last week, we talked about vision plus God will result in a true vision. We broke down how our vision is ultimately not enough. In our ministry, and we need to rely on God. And if you haven't listened to this episode, stop and go back. These next few weeks are going to kind of build on each other. They're going to be, building off the backs of each individual podcast. And so definitely go back to the first week and listen to that. It's going to be super awesome. And if you have, then you know that we looked at what it means to follow God's vision, indicators that we may not be, and how we can find God's vision for our ministry. This week, we really want to break down how we go from seeing the vision to creating one that is attainable, right? I can have the image in my head, but how to get there is really important. The reality is we can see God's vision as clear as day, but if you don't have a plan to execute it, it's not going to leave the vision stage. It's going to stay a vision, and that's not what we want, right? Let's do a thought journey. Let's do this. I like this. I'm really liking these examples here, just because I'm a practical learner like this. But let's think about the Wright brothers, okay? I did a little deep dive into them, and it's a bit cliche on, you know, inventing things or whatever, but they built the first working airplane, and it is... They literally helped pioneer one of the most crucial types of transportation that we have today. Like, imagine a world with no planes. A little interesting history for you if you didn't know, just to keep things spicy. The Wright brothers didn't actually invent the first flying machine. Those had actually been worked on for quite a while. People were creating these flying machines, but they noticed something that wasn't right? And they had a vision on how to fix it. You see, all of these flying machines didn't have total controls. Right, it wasn't a suitable vehicle for traveling or transport because they didn't have the ability to like turn. Right, they didn't have the ability to lift their wings to create different types of lift and able to turn, go up and down. Right, they didn't have this three-dimensional movement that we see in planes. Right, planes nowadays can take off, they can land, they can turn in the sky. That allows them to maneuver anywhere in the world. But actually, that wasn't a thing until the Wright brothers invented it. And so the Wright brothers had a vision to create this machine that can move in all directions, right? They could go up, left, right, down, whatever. And they sat there and they wondered why their vision wasn't happening. And nothing ever came to be. Is what would happen if they didn't act on their vision, right? If they didn't create a plan. No, they began to theorize, write down their ideas. They tested and planned and failed and kept going. You see, had the Wright brothers lacked that second step, right, the willingness to create a plan, as someone would have eventually eclipsed them, right? Somebody would have come along and invented this 3D motion. It wouldn't have been them. They wouldn't have been notorious in the history books. And so the reality is the Wright brothers show us that in order to take a vision to an actual product, we need to create a plan. The coolest thing is looking at the Wright brothers. I still remember this book from a kid, reading about the Wright brothers and their testing and discovery of how to make these airplanes work. And all of that came down to their planning. So let's talk about your ministry. Are you planning the vision that we talked about last week? Or are you just hoping it happens as you do ministry? Because here's the reality. If you want to tweet this, go for it. But vision requires intentionality to become a reality. We need to be intentional with our vision. It is not just going to happen in our ministry. And so the next few podcasts are going to be super practical, breaking that down, what it looks like to act upon this vision, right? I can dream all day of what I want my ministry to be like, but if I just continue at the pace I'm at, my ministry is never going to be there. I have to grow. I want to continue this trend of pointing out signs that you may not have this thing in your ministry, right, or in your vision. And so today I want to talk about some signs that you may not have a plan for your ministry's true vision, right? That you may be lacking some direction to go. So number one is that you are frustrated or discouraged about the progress of the vision. If you find yourself kind of circling the bowl per se, or just continuing to be in the same place stagnant, you may lack that plan to move on. The second one is you get overwhelmed or stressed out when you try and envision the vision taking place. Does the middle ground, right? You're at the start, you see the finish, but how are you going to get there? Does that stress or overwhelm you? Number three is you avoid or procrastinate working towards that vision. You see those big steps you need to take and you just think, I can do that later. I can figure that out a different way. Or number four, you can't actually list any steps you're taking to reach that vision. If any of those resonate with you, stick around because we've all been there. I want to be very clear with this, that I am writing this podcast because I am actively learning that I have not capitalized on my vision, and I want to share this with you as I grow. So all of these things, I can write the signs that I don't have a plan for my vision because I've been living in those. So there's no condemnation or judgment. We've all felt the strain of taking a big vision and making it a reality, but we can and we should, if we truly believe the vision we have is not just ours but God's, right? We can and should. If we believe we have this true vision and we're following what God desires, then we should be able to make a plan. What excuse do we have not to? If we think that we are carrying a vision that God desires in our ministry, then we have no excuse. But what do we do? Right? Where do we start? It's like climbing a mountain and you're there at the bottom. I've climbed a rather large mountain before and you're at the bottom and you think, oh my gosh, I have to get to the top of this. But you start one step at a time. So maybe you've got an idea of what you want to do, but you're just not confident, or maybe you're on that journey and you just really need to solidify what you're working towards. Either way, let's get started. Look at how we can take a God-sized vision, make it a reality. Before anything, I want to be sure to say that everyone's going to do these things differently, right? My planning system is going to work for me, and yours is going to look different. It's going to work different for you based on your personality and your, the way you organize things, the way your brain works. So I'm going to try and present these in kind of a broad, open fashion. And let you run with the rest, right? You're not trying to copy me or mimic me, but hopefully you're gleaning some ideas. So like I said last week, before we start this plan, we need to make sure that we have a true vision for our ministry. That means, breaking down what exactly our goal and call from God is in our ministry. And once we could articulate that, we could begin to plan, right? Last week, I said that you need to have a concrete, visible representation of your vision. And I think just leading into this first step, the hardest part of executing the vision is the first step, right? The first step is the scariest. It's the hardest, right? Like I said, you're at the base of the mountain, and the hardest part of climbing that mountain is starting your journey because you think, there's no way I'm going to get to the top. There's no way I'm going to make it to the top. But we can't do it. Even if it's scary, we have to do something. For most of my ministry career, I've known I've wanted families to be a big part of my ministry, right? I don't want to be a preteen pastor. I want to be a preteen family pastor. And for a while, I sat there wondering how I could create more discipleship in families. And I sat there and wondered how I could create discipleship in families. And I sat there and I sat there and I sat there. And then finally realized, I was like, oh, I don't have a plan for this desire, right? I don't have a plan for this vision, so I had to jump on it. So step one, guys, is going from a true vision to an attainable vision is you need to do your homework. Here's my example. Who here has ever built IKEA furniture? It is the worst, okay? It is the best and the worst, okay? I love IKEA furniture, don't get me wrong, but my goodness, creating it, it's like, you're like, oh my gosh, this desk is so cute because you're up in the viewing area and you're like, I love this. This is going to look great in my house. And then you go and buy it down in the warehouse and it's like this flat box and boards and thousands of little pieces of hardware and you're like, oh gosh. Now, our vision is this desk in our room because it's totally adorable. But how we're going to get it, right? I'm not just going to guess on steps. Okay, let me clarify. I have guest on steps before in IKEA furniture, and I literally built it upside down. I built an entire thing upside down. I don't know how I did it. It didn't work. My vision did not work when I guessed on my steps, right? I'm not going to guess on my steps for this desk. So why would we treat our vision for a ministry any differently, right? The reality is, if we have a vision, we can jump into this vision blind. But not only would that take way longer, but you run the risk of making some really easily avoidable mistakes, like building your desk upside down. If you had simply just done your homework. Another example from my life, one more practical one, is I wanted to communicate with parents more and begin to hand out really like lengthy, wordy, kind of awkward pamphlets with, it was tons of great info that ultimately ended up on the floor of the car, in the trash, in a diaper bag or a backpack strewn through the church. It turns out, while this idea may hit a few parents, right, a majority cannot keep up with that. Nor was the information well structured or anything presented well. And that's something I could have learned quickly from a little homework if I had done some research and I turned out like looking for some better solutions and realized that something that is more quick and easily digestible is going to be way more informative. So I turned those big old pamphlets with all this information into a nice little 4x6 postcard with a QR code for easy access to further information if they want it. And the reception has been great. And my point is that whether you want to connect kids to parents or teach students spiritual disciplines or grow your volunteers or have a kids' church day in your big service or whatever, someone has probably done it before. You're doing yourself a disservice by not looking for the experience of others before you dive in to that. So, sorry, I rambled a bit, but let's restate the main point. And what we can do with it. So the main point is that if we want to turn a true vision into an attainable one, we have to do our homework. So find books or podcasts or speakers and leaders who are doing what you want to do and learn from them. Like I said in the beginning, we are not copying other people's things, right? You're not copying my game plan for how to create a vision because your vision is different than mine. You're not copying this book's game plan on how to do X, Y, or Z, but you are learning from them. You see, this helps you learn from their mistakes. It helps you streamline your vision and ultimately get you an idea of what you need to begin planning that vision. So like I said, once we've done our homework, once we've got our direction, then we begin our roadmap. I'm going to use some basic visuals for this one. So step one is do your homework, right? Get it done. Figure out what you need to do. Step two is start your roadmap. No matter how big or small the vision is, set yourself a roadmap to follow, okay? Your roadmap may be recruit 5 volunteers, and that is amazing. What's your roadmap? And your roadmap may be, I want to add 100 students to my ministry by the end of the year. That's a great vision. What is your roadmap? Now, it's personal preference, once again, I assume that at this point that you know how you plan best, how you organize best, and how you can envision things best for what works for you. But write this map out, and however format works for you, set yourself some attainable goals. Right? We're never going to complete our task if our map is point A is start, point B is finish. Right? Because what's all between start and finish? I'm not just going to start where I'm at and then end up with families more devoted to personal growth and faith together, right? We have to have mile markers. We have to know how we're going to reach them. I think the best way for me, as I put it, is I want my start and I want my end. And then I want large goals to reach as goal points and mile markers. And then I want how I'm going to get to each individual mile marker and maybe even sub goals within that mile marker. I want to break it down into tiny little pieces. Let's continue my example, my vision that I've got for my ministries. I want families and students to grow in faith together as one. And so step one was to communicate better with parents, right? If I want parents to disciple their kids better, I want to know that they're seeing the stuff I'm putting out, right? And so I want to communicate better with my parents, and I can have the best ideas in the world, but if my parents don't hear them, it doesn't matter. So once I got my take-home handouts down, right, I was like, okay, I'm communicating my events. I knew I needed to look at social media presence, right? Having a pre-established Facebook group, I was like, this will be great. And so I started posting some random stuff and you know, doing some homework. I began posting weekly recaps of the lesson and announcements, which might I advise, I think is a great idea. If you have a Facebook page, it's literally, I do no more than 2 minutes, and I say, hey, we talked about this yesterday, and then you can ask your kids this question about the lesson, and here's what we got going on in the next few weeks, and it's great. And so now I started these weekly recaps and started adding more and more, right? I had some goals and some ideas of what I wanted to add, and so now I'm at the point where I'm up to 4 posts a week, the reality is they're all auto posts, right? I'm not going to remember to post these 4 times a week, but I set up my auto posts to post this content 4 times a week. And so to break that down, my first step on the journey, if we're talking about building this roadmap, right? My first step on the journey was to increase parents' awareness of the ministry. But mile one was like sending them home with effective materials each week that they can use. Mile two was to start connecting with them online. Mile three was to expand that connection. Mile four is to continue posting as well as drawing attention to the other resources I have. And all of those will eventually get me to, you know, checkpoint number one, where I really want a majority of the parents who are consistent in my ministry to be in the loop of my communications, right? My first goal here in connecting parents and students in their faith is to have my regular attending parents all connected together. And so that'll look like, you know, personal invitations and actually, you know, doing some digging into who's in there. And all of these are future steps. But my point is, I have these tiny mile markers to get me to my first checkpoint. Because if my first checkpoint was have all of my consistent parents online, I don't know where to start. So create the plan and how you're going to accomplish it. And remember, in all of this, have your true vision as the filter for everything you're doing. So create the steps in whatever way works best for you. Maybe it's a flow chart. Maybe it's literally, it looks like a roadmap for you. Maybe just have them in you know, bullet points and sub points, right? I work well in systems like that as well. But have those steps in writing and visible. One, really, it's for have that in writing because it creates that visual for you, and also the accomplishment of knowing where you've been, right? Don't feel pressured to create this roadmap either in a day or a sitting. Keep praying, keep talking with the Lord, and get those steps that you think He wants you to follow, right? Get those steps and see where it leads. The roadmap is a huge role. It is a hugely important part of attaining our vision. Because not only does it show you where you need to go, but it shows you two other things. It allows you to see where you've been, right? One of my biggest encouragements is looking back and seeing where I was and where I am, right? And you know, get to praise God for all the good things He's done for me and the leadership and the growth that I've experienced. And the second is now you can share that vision. Now you can say, hey, here's what I got. This is where we're headed. And I think that is the most exciting part. You see, the last part of creating an attainable vision is to share it. Share that vision. The first and most important people, especially if this is one of these bigger visions, is your church leadership. And, you know, depending on your church structure, this could be your lead pastor, your executive pastor, your elder, or the congregation, whoever is leading your church who needs to see this, get them on board. Now, I say this, all of these steps leading up to this final step, you can have your leadership in, and I would encourage you to have them as a part of the early stages as well. But with this plan in hand, it's much easier to cast the vision when you can show the leader how it will happen. And remember, when casting vision, different people will see it different ways. For example, my executive pastor, he's going to want to know, like, how something will happen. How am I prepared for the roadblocks? And is the plan efficient and sorted out well? And am I ready for all the things to come? Whereas my lead pastor is going to want to see why. Why am I doing it? Who's benefiting? What's the vision and the end goal? And why is this something worth us doing, right? So make sure that you cast a vision to different people well, understanding how to do it. And once you've done your homework and planned your roadmap and cast a vision and got leaders on board, you're ready to go. Now, I know some of y'all may be thinking, well, what if they're not on board with my vision? What if I put in all this work to be rejected? And so I did. I really felt the need to take time and address this just a little bit and a few thoughts. And none of these are the end-all be-all. This isn't the ultimate advice. But first, it may be a simple road bump or a detour. Reevaluate your vision. My first thought, if I'm coming up against resistance is this something that I need to inventory? Am I going a direction I shouldn't, right? Is this the Lord trying to show me to redirect? And so pray about it and think about the vision. And maybe it is. And so second, think about who and how you're presenting. Like I said, different leaders want to see different things in your vision. Are you presenting a vision that is attainable, that is good for your church, that your leaders will agree with? And are you presenting it in an appropriate way to them? Third is, in a genuine and truly humble way, ask why, right? What is it about the vision that doesn't flow, and how can we work to create something similar? Fourth, think about getting advocates. Are there others on board with your vision that have a say in the church, and have them advocate as well for these visions? And the reality is that there will be roadblocks, right? Your roadmap will not work out perfectly. Things will go slower or faster than anticipated. You'll grow more than expected and have to reel back or end up running into these unforeseen things that will hinder and redirect you. But I really strongly encourage you, do not lose heart. Press on, knowing you are carrying not only your desires, but God's desires for the ministry. You also get to share this vision with your team as well. And that's where we're going to leave this podcast off, is that you get to share this vision with your team. Because next week, we are going to be talking about how we can take our vision, right, our roadmap, and present it to our team and create a new vision. To recap, we spent time creating a true vision. And now that we have that true vision, we need to make that an attainable vision. And that's done through planning and stewarding the vision well. When we combine our true vision, right, the vision God has for our ministry, with a plan, then we get an attainable vision. And we plan by doing our homework, right, creating a roadmap and getting others on board. And once we have this attainable vision, we have to make it functional. We have to give it legs. So next week, we'll cover how to make our attainable vision, along with our team, to create a functional vision. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I really appreciate you, and I'm so much enjoying this, and I hope you guys are as well. This is definitely a longer one. I'm so sorry, but I'm going to see you guys next week with more. Bye.